Let's read together Numbers chapter 33. In this chapter, we have a review of the different places where the children of Israel camped in their journey from Egypt to Canaan. And then we have further instructions from the Lord concerning their conquest of the land. Let's begin by reading verses 1 through 49. These are the journeys of the children of Israel who went out of the land of Egypt by their armies under the hand of Moses and Aaron. Now Moses wrote down the starting points of their journeys at the command of the Lord. And these are their journeys according to their starting points. They departed from Ramses in the first month, on the 15th day of the first month. On the day after the Passover, the children of Israel went out with boldness in the sight of all the Egyptians. For the Egyptians were burying all their firstborn, whom the Lord had killed among them. Also on their gods the Lord had executed judgments. Then the children of Israel moved from Ramses and camped at Succoth. They departed from Succoth and camped at Etham, which is on the edge of the wilderness. They moved from Etham and turned back to Pi-Hahiroth, which is east of Baal Zephon, and they camped near Migdol. They departed from before Ahiroth and passed through the midst of the sea into the wilderness, went 3 days' journey in the wilderness of Etham, and camped at Marah. They moved from Marah and came to Elam. At Elam were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees, so they camped there. They moved from Elam and camped by the Red Sea. They moved from the Red Sea and camped in the wilderness of Sin. They journeyed from the wilderness of Sin and camped at Dophka. They departed from Dophka and camped at Elush. They moved from Elush and camped at Rephidim, where there was no water for the people to drink. They departed from Rephidim and camped in the wilderness of Sinai. Now from verse 16 down to verse 36, we have a list of places where the children of Israel camped from Sinai, where the law was given, to Kadesh Barnea, where they returned 38 years after they had sent out the spies from this very place. Verse 36, they moved from Etzion-Geber and camped in the wilderness of Zin, which is Kadesh. They moved from Kadesh and camped at Mount Hor on the boundary of the land of Edom. Then Aaron the priest went up to Mount Hor at the command of the Lord and died there in the 40th year after the children of Israel had come out of the land of Egypt on the first day of the fifth month. Aaron was 133 years old when he died on Mount Hor. Now the king of Arad, the Canaanite who dwelt in the south in the land of Canaan, heard of the coming of the children of Israel. Now from verse 41 to verse 49, we have a list of places where the children of Israel camped, from Mount Hor, where Aaron died, to the plains of Moab, from where they would cross over the Jordan and conquer Jericho. Verse 49, they camped by the Jordan from Beth Jesimoth as far as the Abel Acacia Grove in the plains of Moab. Let's begin our study of this chapter, Numbers 33, with some background notes. When we look at our Bible maps showing the journey of the children of Israel from Egypt to Canaan, we find that not everyone is agreed as to the exact route that the children of Israel took. That's because all of these places listed here have not been found by archaeologists. Remember, these were not cities, but rather campsites. A temporary campsite usually does not leave a permanent record. And remember, they did not have throwaway styrofoam cups and Coke bottles and aluminum cans in those days. Archaeologists wish they did, but they didn't. Now, the biggest two questions about the location of the sites listed here, of course, are exactly where did the children of Israel cross the Red Sea, and exactly where was Mount Sinai? The Hebrew term Red Sea can be translated Reed Sea, R-E-E-D, right? Reed Sea. So some Christians have watered down the miracle of the crossing of the Red Sea, pardon the pun here, and said it was only a marshy area, a sea of reeds. However, this is the same term, Red Sea, that is used throughout the Old Testament for the Red Sea, including the location of King Solomon's navy in 1 Kings 9:26, and clearly that was no marshy area near the land of Goshen. Now, whether the crossing of the Red Sea was through the Gulf of Suez, or an ancient extension of the Gulf of Suez, or the Gulf of Aqaba, or at the Straits of Tehran, we don't know for sure. No confirmed findings of chariot wheels have been reliably reported yet. And as to the exact location of Mount Sinai, we can't be sure either. There is a traditional Mount Sinai in the Sinai Peninsula, and it's great to hike this mountain on our Holy Land tours, but we can't be sure if it's the biblical Mount Sinai. Well, certainly more we could say for the background. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for Numbers 33. Doctrinal point number one, God led his people to specific locations when they traveled in the wilderness. God led his people to specific locations when they traveled in the wilderness. You know, if we only had Numbers 33 as a record of where the children of Israel camped in the wilderness, we might conclude that the children of Israel chose these locations themselves, or that Moses and Aaron chose these locations. After all, verse 1 says that they were under the leadership of Moses and Aaron. But no, the people did not choose the locations, and Moses and Aaron did not choose the locations. God chose the specific locations. Now, how do we know that for sure? Because God was leading them through the wilderness with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. I'm reading Exodus chapter 13, verses 20 through 22. So they took their journey from Succoth and camped in Etham at the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Remember, we read about this wonderful guidance system in Numbers chapter 9. Remember that? So God led his people to specific locations in their wilderness travels. Now let me ask you a question. Does God still lead and guide his people today? Yes. Does he still lead his people specifically in this wilderness world? Yes, he does so if we're willing to follow. Psalm 32:8 says, the Lord says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Now that's specific guidance, isn't it? Does this include what job to take and what house to buy, etc., etc.? Why not? God knows us better than we know ourselves. He certainly knows what's best for us. So God will guide us specifically if we're willing to follow. Now he expects us to use our common sense, the common sense that he's given us, and he expects us to use the biblical principles that he's already given us in his word, but he will guide us specifically. Remember Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't depend on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. As God led his people in their wilderness travels from Egypt to Canaan, so God will lead us in our Christian walk in the wilderness of this world. God led his people to specific locations when they traveled in the wilderness. Doctrinal point number two. God gave his people specific instructions when they entered into the land. God gave his people specific instructions when they entered into the land. Verses 50 through 56. Numbers 33, beginning now at verse 50. Now the Lord spoke to Moses in the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho, saying, Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, When you have crossed the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, destroy all their engraved stones, destroy all their molded images, and demolish all their high places. You shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell in it, for I have given you the land to possess. And you shall divide the land by lot as an inheritance among your families. To the larger you shall give a larger inheritance, and to the smaller you shall give a smaller inheritance. There everyone's inheritance shall be whatever falls to him by lot. You shall inherit according to the tribes of your fathers. But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall be that those whom you let remain shall be irritants in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and they shall harass you in the land where you dwell. Moreover, it shall be that I will do to you as I thought to do to them. When Israel entered into the land, the promise, they were to drive out the pagan inhabitants of the land, and they were to destroy all the idolatrous engraved stones and molten images. And they were to demolish all the idolatrous shrines on the high places. And when they divided up the land by lot, for the various tribes. Each tribe was to finish the job of cleaning out the pockets of enemy resistance. God did not want his people polluted or contaminated or associated with the idolatry and immorality of the pagan Canaanites in any way. Israel was to clean out the land and be separate from every form of evil. Now, the lesson for us is obvious, isn't it? In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, we read, "Be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean." We are not even to dabble with any form of evil in this world. We are not to live as Christian hermits in this world. No, that's impossible. Besides, we are to be salt and light in this world. Matthew 5, 13 and 14. But we are to separate from the evil of this world system. And that's not always an easy road to travel. What do you do when someone at work tells an off-color story, for example? How do you regulate what you and your family watch on TV? Do you control what you read and view on the internet? Look at what God told his people would happen if they did not follow his instructions when they entered into the land. Verse 55. "But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall be that those whom you let remain shall be irritants in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and they shall harass you in the land where you dwell." Do you see the spiritual lesson? If we don't separate from the evil of this world, we will not enjoy the blessings and rewards of the Christian life. In fact, the evil that we refuse to separate from will be a thorn in our side and harass us throughout life. So what's the solution? Follow God's instructions in His Word and separate from every form of evil. God gave His people specific instructions when they entered into the land. What about practical application? Thank the Lord that even your wanderings are all under God's control. Thank the Lord that even your wanderings are all under God's control. You know, we always think of the 40 years that the children of Israel spent in the wilderness as 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, right? Well, they certainly were wanderings from one perspective, for sure. But we see from this chapter that God was still in control, even down to the specific campsites where they camped. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, "And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness." Notice, remember how God led you, not how you just wandered in the wilderness, but how God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness. So the children of Israel were not just wandering in the wilderness, but God was leading them and testing them and disciplining them. They were wandering because of their sin, but where they wandered and where they touched down, God was guiding and controlling the specific places, and it was to test them and to discipline them. And the same is true in our lives today. Even when we're wandering in the wilderness of this world, God is using our experiences as tests of our faith and discipline in our lives so that He can bless us in the future. Thank the Lord that even your wanderings are all under God's control.